Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Friday. It's December 19th, 2014, 6 days away from the day we celebrate the Lord's birth. And Jason, I just want to say publicly, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to our listeners.
You.
And I'm kind of just feeling a little, I don't know, it's like if I had a cup of eggnog. And what's that when you get reflective on like New Year's Eve and you think about the past years? I'm just thinking how grateful I am for our listeners, for the ways God has used them in my life. So many of our listeners attend radio events or Singing Men concerts or some of the special studies you put on this past year, and it's just a great season where we can thank God for so many things, as it's kind of heightened because of the Christmas experience and the gift giving and the whole Christmas message, reading through that book of Luke. We mentioned this at great length on Wednesday, just what God has done, how uniquely He came as Emmanuel, God with us. We didn't get to say this on Wednesday, but I was thinking about it. You know, Jesus is our high priest, and He can identify with every part of our lives because He's lived it. He was a teenager at one point. I think Max Lucado or somebody does it where, you know, he might have had acne and some of the things. But
it's always different, though, because He's sinless. And we talked about this the past weekend at church when we said, you know, Mary raising Jesus, that He would have been like, very much like in certain ways all other kids, except for sinless. Like you could leave the cookies down low and you didn't have to like childproof the house because he wouldn't have touched anything. Like just leave that down there. Jesus won't touch it. I mean, so it's kind of, you know, I don't know what degree that we understand that because, I mean, the Bible is silent on that.
Right.
And yet we know that He was like us in certain ways. I mean, He was in the likeness of human flesh.
And it says He can identify so He could understand. He can empathize because He knows what it means to be rejected or spit on or abused or violated or betrayed. And so there's not an emotion that He can't also enter into your emotion or help you or carry you through it, because He also experienced those things in His humanity. And yet, thank you, God, that He was divine and that He was focused on the Father's will and that He remained sinless through temptation. He was perfect, and He's that great high priest we can identify with.
And there's something to be said. I heard something about this recently, and I think it's a good reminder that oftentimes we focus on Jesus as he rested on God in terms of His temptation. You know, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Spirit of God led Him into this moment of temptation. Now, why? Because Hebrews tells us that discipline, those kinds of things, they are forming us and preparing us for a fruit of righteousness. So God doesn't tempt us towards sin, but God tests us towards righteousness. So, first of all, when the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, we have to understand that He's moving Him towards testing, which will provide righteousness. Now, what did Jesus do in the wilderness? I always find this fascinating. He rebukes the devil with 3 verses from Deuteronomy. So the devil offers Him everything. I mean, he offers Him food because He's hungry. So He offers kind of His really basic need. And then He offers Him this grand, like, you can have all the kingdoms of the earth. You can have all these things. And Jesus rebukes Him with 3 verses from Deuteronomy. So then how much more can we do with 66 books of the Bible? I mean, when the devil comes up against us, when temptation comes towards us, when sin wants to bear its weight upon us, how much more then can we do with the whole counsel of God that's been given to us? When we see the Jesus example is with 3 verses, He put the devil down. And so then how much more can we do? That's why it's so important, I think, to get into God's Word. And we talked about it on Wednesday. But what does Mary say? Mary says in the 38th verse of the first chapter of Luke, He says, let it be according to your word. Mary leans back on the word of God because God's word is His revelation to us, living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And so for those who say, well, I just struggle with getting in the Bible, then get a different Bible. Or they say, I struggle with reading the Bible. Then get a friend and read the Bible with them. Have them help you. Attend a Bible study. Do something. But to say simply that I can't get it, I don't understand it, I have trouble with it, so I'm not going to do it, you're not being passive. What you're doing is you're in rebellion to the things that God wants to do in your life, which is to draw you near to Him. God doesn't give you His Word as a yoke of kind of oppression, a weight that bears upon you. Instead, He gives you His Word because it is freedom. And this season right now proves for us that God came to set the captives free, that He instituted, He alone instituted a grace-saving salvation plan that only He could make happen.
And we have the story because it's recounted in His Word.
Right, it's recounted in His Word. And so that's why it's so important that we get in His Word, because His Word makes it right. We talked about last week about the issue of Santa Claus and how we can take that very secular thing and we can, through what we know historically as fact, as who St. Nicholas was, and then what the Bible says, allow the Bible to speak truth into that, and then pretty soon we arrive at a place where we wholly understand Santa Claus from a Christian worldview, not from a secular world. Look, if somebody wants to tell you how to interpret everything, but the point is that God has offered us a voice in this, which is His Word. And so we need to get into His Word, because Jesus laid Himself into God's Word when He faced temptation, when He faced trouble, when He faced those things. He leaned in the same place that Mary leaned, which was on God's Word and God's person and character revealed through God's Word. And so then we should too. So I don't know if there's a message in all that I just said. I think it's a get your Bibles out and begin to read your Bibles. If you've got kids, go to the first chapter. If you're struggling, then go to the Christian bookstore. There's a great one in Champaign. Go over there and pick up a Bible that you can read. Pick up a Bible or a storybook that you can read to your kids, where you can give them and help them to walk through the biblical narrative. Look, at somebody's going to shape your child's life. Why isn't it you? Why isn't it you? Armed with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ, why isn't it you? I'm calling parents to heart, because that's what God did when He spoke to Zechariah, didn't He? He said, this man John will come, he'll prepare the way, and he's going to turn the hearts of fathers towards their children. So that's what God's Word is meant to do. As God's Word prepares the way and prepares you for the coming of Jesus Christ into your life, a first time, a first birth and death in your life, but then ultimately, eternally, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And so it's your job as a parent to turn your heart towards your children and reveal to them what God has said in His Word. And so if you're struggling with the one you got, then go get a different one, please. I'm not a Bible tyrant where it's like, you can only read one kind or only do this or only do that. Just get a Bible, okay? Just make sure it says Holy Bible on the front, okay? And then get that. Because there's all kinds, like the Woodworker's Bible and all those, so just be careful. But get that, and if that's too hard for you, look at, there have been times where the biblical narrative in my ESV is too tough. I get the Jesus Storybook Bible off the shelf, and I read that to my kids. It's in the kids section at the Christian bookstore. Go grab one of those, like $10, and get that and read it to your kids. Read the account of Jesus coming in the manger, and kids are going to get filled full of something. Obviously, it's going to be candy canes and Christmas chocolate, but fill them full of Jesus, too. I mean, it's your responsibility as a parent.
And I'm thinking, in light of Christmas 6 days away, purchasing that Bible and then beginning for this new year that practice of daily devotions with the family independently or with friends or in a Bible study, get into God's Word. May that be one of your New Year's resolutions in 2015.
Yeah, don't discount it. Look, we do this Advent book that we read at our house. It's really a great book. And if anybody has any questions about it, I don't know, send me an email. Send the station an email, and I'll figure out and I'll answer it for you. But it's really it's kind of a real keepsake Advent book. Big, thick book, and it's got the ribbon that you tie and all that. And we've had it now for, Jacob is 9, so we've had it for 9 years. And we have read through it every year, starting on the first day of Advent through the Advent season. Every page of it, you start with one page, then two pages, and you open up doors. And when you open the doors, what's behind the door? So it's kind of interactive. It really draws the kids in. But we've been reading this book for 9 years now. Okay, so when you're a baby in our house, you sit on the couch and you listen. Samuel's 1 year old, and he sits on there and he listens to the stories being said. We're now to the point where, so Molly is 6. She has 4 pages memorized. I mean, we shouldn't have to read them. She just starts saying them because these aren't little pages. These are big paragraphs that she remembers because she's heard it so many times. So she's hiding that in her heart. And so what better thing can happen than to listen to my 6-year-old daughter recite the Word of God? You know, I don't know. She's a cute girl. So I know when she gets to be a little older, you know, she hits her teens and her low 20s, man, she's going to be cute. And I'm going to have to beat the guys out of the doors. But I'm going to tell you this. All of that is fleeting because the true beauty is what's being hidden in her heart. What will be truly beautiful, I hope, to the man of God who comes and he marries my daughter will be that the Word of God rests deeply in her heart and that she can recite it and that she loves God and that she worships God and that she lives for Him and Him alone and then because of that can love her husband and her kids the same way I watch my wife do the same thing. And so this is kind of a deposit that you're making that, you know, moth and rust can't come and steal. It's not the stuff of future garage sales. This is an eternal offering you're making to your kids that'll draw them near to God.
The Christmas season is upon us, 6 days away, and we hope through our radio broadcasts, our Christmas music, our Christmas specials, the teaching that uplifts you because it's all about the good news message of Jesus, that God so loved the world, God so loved you, that He sent His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it began in the manger because God became man, Emmanuel, God with us. It's an incredible story, but it's not just a story. It's a truth. It's in the Bible. It's a narrative that we get to celebrate during this time of year. We get to sing about it. In fact, this Saturday at noon, tomorrow at noon in the food court at Marketplace Mall, it's on North Neal Street. We'll have a concert that'll be very God-honoring. There'll be some Bible giveaways for hopefully those that may not have a Bible, those that are like, what is the season all about? I know Jason and others are hoping to proclaim the message and point to the Lord Jesus Christ and share what the season is all about. So maybe you're tuned in, you're scanning the dial, and you're like, a free Christmas concert? Well, I'm kind of interested in that. But of having a relationship with God, somebody could answer some questions. I'd love to talk with somebody in a very non-threatening environment. Well, then come on out to the mall tomorrow at noon. Pastor Jason Schiffel will be there. I'll be there. The singing men will be there. And it'll be a festive time. And yet, it'll be a very God-honoring time. And it's all free.
Yeah, what could be more non-threatening than the food court?
No, really.
I mean, really. But you mentioned that verse, and that's really interesting because, you know, the Lord's just really been speaking to me the last number of months just about the importance and the imperative of the gospel. You know, that there's no greater message that we can bring, you know, especially in a culture now where when I hear a lot of church voices, it's all about the questions. You know, well, I'm just asking questions and I got a lot of questions about this and there's this and God answers every single one of those questions in His Word and in and through the gospel. And you mentioned it. I mean, John 3:16 is one that even if you're not a Christian, you've probably heard that or seen that somehow. And yet that verse is so important to our faith. It's so instrumental because of what it tells us. Because it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it begins and it says, for God. So I'm kind of, you know, some people like to, well, you're the Bible guy, so let's do the Bible. For God. Which means that it's no one else, no one other than, for God, God alone, God Himself, that's it, God, only God can do what's going to happen here. For God, what? So. I circled that in my Bible because I think it's the most one of the most important words in this verse, so, because it tells us to the extent and the depth in which God loves the world. He so loves the world. I mean, if I was to ask you, what do you so love? You might say, oh, I so love chocolate, or I so love a good steak, or I so love... These are things that there's an intimacy, a deepness, a kind of longing, a love that you have for something. When you use the word so, I so love that person. And sometimes we use it emphatically the other way, right? I so hate that. When you see someone use the word so, their lips curl down or up. God's lips, where if He had lips, they'd be curled up because for God, God alone, so, with a depth that we can't even understand, love the world. And love the world is one that's important for you and I because what? You're in the world. I'm in the world. We're in the world. And so when God loves the world, He loves those who are in the world. So some of you think, I've done too much bad. I can't possibly, God can't possibly love me. Are you in the world? See, the criteria for this right here in this passage is not if you're good or bad, is it? The criteria for this here is, are you in the world? Now, those of you who gravity is acting upon today, answer that question only one way. You're in the world. You haven't floated away. You haven't left the world. You're here. So God alone, with a depth that you can't understand, loves who? Everyone in the world.
And that in the world, it's not that vague, just somebody way out there. It's you. It's very
right.
personal and
right.
up close.
It's expansive, and yet it's personal, because that's how God is. God is keeping beneath his hand all things, the universe and everything that's happening within it, all bits of everything, but at the same time knows how many hairs are on your head. I mean, so God is expansive, and yet he's personal. For God so loved the world, what? Now listen, because God alone, with a depth that we can't understand, loves the world, he acts. Because what God knows, what God does, he acts upon. He acts upon his character. And because he acts upon it, that he, only he could act upon this. Only he, with the depth of who he is and how he is and his power and his majesty, only he could give his only son. Because if you're really honest, and I'm speaking to the men right now, you couldn't give your only son. You couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. When I read the account of Abraham and the binding of Isaac, I couldn't do it. Only God could do it. Because only God can see the other side of this thing. You and I can't see the other side of this thing. Only God can see the other side of this thing. Only God knew that on the third day he would raise victoriously. Only God understood the plan. Because if he'd have told us the plan, we wouldn't have gotten it. In fact, Jesus walked around and continually told the plan, and they didn't get it. They killed him for it. They lifted stones to stone him every time he tried to proclaim the fullness of this message. Because why? The Apostle Paul tells us later, the gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. See, this is why you need to read the Word of God, because once you start reading the Word of God, things start to make sense, because what the Apostle Paul says is strung like pearls to what Jesus does, is strung like pearls to what the prophet spoke, is strung always like fine pearls back to Genesis chapter 3 and before. And so for God alone, with a depth that we can't understand, love the world, which is you personal, because you're in the world, that he acted upon that, and he did what only he could do, what none of us could even attempt or understand to do, which was to give his only son. And why? So that whoever, again, it's personal. It's personal. It's expansive. Whoever, yet it's personal, because the message is for you. Whoever believes in him, or some versions say on him, which is the same thing, because you're supposed to lay your belief upon him. Whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This whole thing was moving towards God's saving plan for you and for I. In fact, earlier in John chapter 1, it says that he came and he dwelt amongst us. The word in Greek, translated back to Hebrew, is tabernacled. He came and he tabernacled amongst us. Jesus was the living embodiment of the tent of meeting, where God's presence and glory would come and move amongst men. Except now, unlike in those times when only one select man could come near to God, now all men can come near to God, because as Jesus in his very act at the cross will do, the curtain will be torn and the veil will be pulled back, and access to God, peace with God, will be made between all men and God.
And that word, and I'm sure everyone understands, all men meaning all men and all women, all
sure.
boys and all girls, all people.
Sure. The Bible being written in a kind of a patriarchal society always looks towards men. Now this is where, it was funny, I was doing some premarital counseling the other day, and I was talking about what we do, especially in our church. We would be what we consider complementarian, which we believe that, and some people right now will get frustrated because I say this, but I'm just hear me out. We believe that men are called to lead. That doesn't diminish the position of women at all, but it does say that God has a plan where men lead and women complement men. I can't be the person I am and the things that I am if my wife wasn't there cheering me on and helping me and coming alongside me. In Ephesians, when Paul says women submit, submission is love. When he says to the men, love, love is submission. So in order to submit, you have to love, and in order to love, you have to submit. So he equalizes the position of men and women in that passage. church. And so what we have to understand is that men are called to lead. I love that the Bible talks specifically using the terminology men, because men need to read this and men need to get up off their butts and get up off the couch and start leading their families, because far too many women have been left in the unfortunate position of having to lead because they have a man who knows how to shave, but he hasn't left adolescence yet. This is a topic that I get very fired up about. Very fired up about. Because men, we got to get up and get moving, and not simply because God's called us to do that. Look at, you get to love your wife well. Why would you not want to love your wife well? Why would you not want to lead your kids well? Why would you not want to do those things? If you're a man and you're hearing this message right now, and you're not reading the Christmas story with your kids, what is wrong? Why aren't you doing it? When I was younger, there was this song. Cat Stevens would sing that song, The Cat's in the Cradle.
Yeah, and the Silver Spoon, yeah.
And this song goes through, I think, through four or five verses of this person's life. And through the first three verses or so, it's about this man and his son. And the son wants, Dad, can we play? No, I'm too busy. Dad, can we do it? No, I'm too busy. Dad, can we do this? No, I'm too busy.
And when you're coming home, you know.
Yeah, when you're coming home, together. Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. In the final verse, the dad calls the son up and says, hey, I'd like to get together. And the son says, no, I'm just a little too busy. And it's almost a lament at the end, because he reaped what he sowed. It's so funny, because when I hear that song, I think it's biblical. And you know what? I'm just going to be honest with you, because I've sat with enough elderly folks in the hospital as they're facing death. And one of the things they always wish is that they had more time with their families and that they had done things differently. And so you have this chance and this opportunity right now. God did this miracle, life-saving redemption of Jesus coming to the earth so that the hearts of fathers would be turned back towards their children, that they would love their wives well. And so when the Bible talks about men, it's calling men back to leading. And we can do that because in this season we have the revelation of the true and perfect, the strongest, the greatest man I know, the God-man named Jesus Christ. And so if you want a man, let's stop patterning ourselves after fallen men, after sports stars who then were shocked, like, I can't believe he cheated on his wife. I can't believe he crashed his car. I can't believe he cheated. Why can't you believe it? He's fallen just like you. He has the same inclinations like you. So why wouldn't you want to set your heart and desire and affections upon a man who will not fail you? The only man in history who has never failed us, and that man is Jesus Christ. Mm. He went to the cross for you. You know, it's funny because I'll do marital counseling. Guys will be like, well, I love my wife. I just want to love my wife. Or I'll be like, you know, the Bible calls you to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Well, I love my wife like that. Have you gone to the cross for her yet? Are you willing to do that? Because that's what that passage means. That's the extent of the love that passage is calling for you. But thank God for Jesus that you don't have to go to the cross, because he did. You don't have to go that distance, because he did what only he could do. God did what only he could do, because he loves the world. He loves you. And this season is a revelation of that love present in the manger. It exceeds our humanity, and it is full of his divinity.
I'm thinking of two things. There's an 800 number that people can call to talk to trained counselors free of charge that can walk them through how to have that relationship with Almighty God. What's the message in the season? And yet also tomorrow, you will be at the food court along with the singing men of GNN at noon. And so if you have some questions that you'd like to ask Pastor Jason about having a relationship with God, or maybe some other theological question that you're wrestling with or want to know, he loves to answer it. He loves to refer to the Bible. He'll have Bibles to give away. And hopefully there'll be some people that maybe have never been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ that'll be in that food court. Usually there's 500, 700, 1,000 people there. So get there early. I know there might be even some snow in the area, but we'll sing rain, snow, sleet, or shine. I don't know. There were some in the forecast that it might snow, so we'll see how that all works out. But we'll be singing at noon in the food court at Marketplace Mall in Champaign on North Neal Street. So come on out and enjoy a concert, a free concert, probably from 12 to 1:30. But I know Jason will be there with some Bible and some ministry resources. So if you're a seeker, or maybe you're at a point in your life where you're questioning, could there be a God in this sin-filled world where all these crises and things are going on. Come on out, enjoy the concert, and Pastor Jason, we'd love to talk with you about that relationship with Almighty God. And if you can't make it out tomorrow, we had hoped that you would find a good Bible-believing yes. church this Sunday. And if you can't, for whatever reason, or you just can't get out, there is an 800 number that you can call, and there are trained counselors that would love to talk with you. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM.
And if you're alone this holiday season, maybe you're one of these people that Mark referred to, that getting out is tough, and you're listening to the program, call a local church, call my church, and I'll have an elder. I'll have somebody come and sit with you and sing with you and spend some time praying with you. Nobody should be alone this holiday season. And if you're hearing this message and you have a neighbor that you know maybe recently lost somebody or maybe recently is widowed, who knows? Go next door. Spend some time with them. Pray with them. Love on them. Because the message of the manger is that nobody is alone at Christmas time. Because the Lord Jesus came and he continues to come and he will come again one day closer than it was yesterday.
And has been mentioned and divided and talked about and shared. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you missed a portion of this program, we talked about that. It is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. We don't want any of you that are listening right now to not understand the fact that God loves you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.